Stop 4. If you look up and in through the windows of the glass studio in front of you, you'll see the magnificent original construction, reminiscent in design to the Eiffel Tower. The buildings in Filmstaden were the work of the Swedish architect Ebbe Krohn. The style followed the national romantic trend of the time, with some 20th century classical influences. Architect Kroner used to have an office in Berlin prior to World War I and drew inspiration from Germany's famed Babelsberg film studios. However, the aim was to create an even more modern studio complex in Filmstaden, and with the backing of Swedish millionaire industrialist Ivar Kruger's construction company, they opted to build houses of reinforced concrete. Only a few buildings in the world had at that time been built in this material. The floors in the studios, however, were of wood, this to facilitate setting up and moving the larger film props. Turning now to the dressing room building. This large building initially linked together Filmstaden's large and small studios. It's comprised of four floors. The director's and stage manager's premises were on the ground floor, as was the office of the legendary Ingmar Bergman. The first floor housed the men's dressing rooms, intersected by a corridor, with the women's dressing rooms up on the second floor. This is also where the star's dressing room was located. The bay window that you can see if you look up afforded stars like Ingrid Bergman, Greta Garbo and others a magnificent view of the area. The top floor housed the tailors and costuming premises. The facade was also often used in films to represent, for example, a school, a city hall, or even a seedy bar in some foreign port. However, 1923 marked the end of the golden era of silent film in Sweden. Its biggest stars, Victor Sjöström, Maurits Stiller and Garbo, have been lost to Hollywood. The world was in the grip of depression, with widespread unemployment, and internal conflicts within SF led to a major drop in the production rate. With the onset of talking movies in 1929, it took until November before any Swedish productions got off the ground. However, the creative spirit did finally come alive again. With a new generation of Swedish comedic actors and actresses on the up, the Swedish film scene was all set for a revival. During the 30s and 40s, a great many comedies were produced here. Most of these slapstick, boisterous films, often with musical intermezzos, received scathingly negative reviews from the film critics. But at the same time as the critics were appalled by the low quality of the light-hearted comedies, people flocked to the cinemas to watch their comedic favourites spiritedly joke, sing, and tumble their way through one unlikely situational comedy after another. Meanwhile, Swedish film actor Gustav Molander was building a career as film director that would see him become one of Swedish film's most prolific and versatile directors of the period. Molander, whose many productions included Intermezzo, which became Ingrid Bergman's breakthrough, was shooting a film adaptation of a popular contemporary Swedish novel, and was facing a real dilemma, having to shoot a key wintry scene on ice in the middle of June. The studio manager then came up with the idea of painting the asphalt on the street you're standing on white. Since the film was in black and white, a little backlighting, some sawdust on the white pavement, and with all the actors wearing winter coats, made it all look just like a cold night by the sea. The film turned out to be a huge success, both among the audiences and the critics.